In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Thursday, July 7th, 2016 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Trinity Western University is taking their case to the Supreme Court of Canada. The university is fighting to get accreditation for its law school after a lower court ruling refused the accreditation request over the university's biblical stance against homosexuality. The World View spoke to attorney Andre Schutten concerning the case.
I hope that our Supreme Court of Canada will actually uphold the rights of Trinity Western University to have that university and keep it distinctly Christian, because that's what it means to be a free society. We don't have to all agree and all think the same way and act the same way. In a pluralistic society, we should be able to have groups of people that can think differently and act differently than others. And that's what Trinity Western wants to do, and that's what my organization and I have been fighting for in court in support of Trinity Western University.
Christians in Pakistan face brutal persecution from Muslims and little protection from police forces. The harassment is the heaviest in Chalk 44, Mandi Bahawdin, and the Punjab province. According to the Christian Post, about 75% of the Christians there have left after being pressured to convert to Islam. Those Christians who remain live in the face of starvation and the fear that their houses will be burned down. Hebrews 13:3 says, "Remember those who are in prison, as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body." Attorney General Loretta Lynch has announced she is officially shutting down the investigation on Hillary Clinton's security issues. The U.S. Supreme Court struck down a Texas pro-life law last week. The Texas Health Department released a report recently indicating the abortion rate in Texas dropped nearly 15% in 2014, according to LifeSite News. The number of abortion mills operating in Texas dropped from 41 to 19 during the same time frame. Indicative of a national trend, the rate of the murder of the unborn in the U.S. has fallen 12% since 2010. National Geographic reports archaeological findings in Hukok, Israel, at the site of a Roman-era synagogue. Two panels of mosaic floor clearly depict Noah's Ark and the parting of the Red Sea. Such scenes are extremely rare in archaeology, testifying to the faith of God's people over the centuries. Protests erupted on Tuesday after Alton Sterling was shot and killed by police outside of a convenience store in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. The police department reported, quote, "Uniformed officers responded to a disturbance call from a complainant who stated that a black male who was selling music CDs and wearing a red shirt threatened him with a gun," unquote. The officers involved in the shooting have been placed on administrative leave, and the U.S. Justice Department's Civil Rights Division is investigating the issue. Our universe just became a little smaller. Fox News reports that NASA's Juno spacecraft entered Jupiter's orbit late Monday, ending a journey of almost 5 years to the solar system's largest planet. In a providential moment, Juno arrived at Jupiter on the 4th of July, after having traveled 1.8 billion miles, the farthest solar-powered spacecraft from Earth. The World View spoke to Dr. Jason Lyle, Ph.D. astrophysicist from the Institute for Creation Research.
The Juno spacecraft is going to investigate the composition of Jupiter's atmosphere, measure the amounts of things like water vapor and ammonia, and they're expecting to also study the magnetic field of Jupiter, and that should tell us something about what's going on the inside of Jupiter.
And the World View also spoke to Dr. Danny Faulkner, astronomer from Answers in Genesis, about the Juno spacecraft's arrival at Jupiter.
Planets and stars and so forth are really fascinating things. You know, astronomy is one of those things explicitly mentioned in Scripture about the heavens declaring the glory of God. And I think it's a good thing that we've got this curiosity built into us. And I think it's pleasing to the Lord to study these things. There are a lot of mysteries about Jupiter. One thing that this space probe is going to look at is the heat that's given off by Jupiter. Jupiter is giving off nearly twice the energy that it receives from the sun. And that's a bit of a mystery, because if Jupiter's 4.5 billion years old, it should have cooled off long before now. And that's an indication, I think, that Jupiter's far younger than we generally thought.
Apparently, deaths due to taking selfies are more common than deadly great white shark attacks. Recently, two tourists fell to their deaths in Peru. One man lost his balance on a 130-foot cliff at Machu Picchu, and the other fell 1,600 feet at Gatka Waterfall, both while taking selfies. Praise God for his creation, but be careful when taking those selfies. A homeless Texas teen graduated at the top of his class despite living for 3 years alone on the streets. According to the Christian Post, LaJohn De Silva's mother passed away when he was just 5 years old. When Principal Jonathan Trin found out that De Silva was sleeping in parks, he reached into his own pocket and paid for a 30-day stay at a nearby hotel. Another godsend was a volunteer named Jessica Smith, who, after posting De Silva's need for shelter on her Facebook page, found someone who let the high school student stay in their garage apartment rent-free. De Silva concluded, "I had no family, I was homeless, I went through child abuse and my family abusing drugs, I went through some of the worst places to live. Where am I now? I'm alive and well and blessed." James 1:27 says, "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." And that's the World View on this Thursday, July 7th, in the year of our Lord, 2016. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today as we address what the Word of God has to say about politics. Part of the thrust of this program is to address what does the Bible say about that. That's one of our simple children's curriculum we put together, and we just simply apply that message just about every day on this radio program as we ask what God thinks about, well, just about everything. The Word of God is there to equip the man of God for every good work. And it has been somewhat abridged, and so not very many people see the authority of God's Word speaking to much of anything at all. But we would like to bring back the authority of God's Word to speak on all the things that, well, God speaks on in His Word, and that includes the area of politics. Well, today we're going to talk a little bit about Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, two of the leading candidates for President of the United States. Hillary Clinton now leading Donald Trump by 13 points in the latest Reuters poll. Steve Vaughn in studio with me today, just another homeschooling father.
I can think of about 545 people that could use your book. What does the Bible say about that? There's, 435 in Congress. We've got, president, well, vice president, and the Supreme Court, and then probably another 100 people just in the cabinets and stuff
that. We could maybe do a special mailing to all of those folks. Now, the nice thing about what does the Bible say about that is written in 14-point font.
Yeah. So all these old folks could read it.
Yes. And that would be a benefit to, simple sentences, so I think they could understand some very basic introduction to what the Word of God says about just about everything.
So does it cover lying and cheating and adultery and stuff like that?
Applies to some of that as well, yeah. but it takes a look at family, church, and state, and of course the limitations that God places upon state and the expectations that God has on the state, especially for those who are in government. Well, Hillary Clinton is not reading Kevin Swanson's book, What Does the Bible Say About That? And I don't think Donald Trump has a copy of that either. But there is a huge disillusionment across the country with both of these candidates. They seem to not appreciate the integrity of these candidates. Some 60% of Americans believe that Hillary Clinton did lie on her email, in her email, email gate, I think you would call it.
Yeah.
So, friends, it appears that America is not all that impressed with either candidate. When it says that Hillary Clinton is leading Donald Trump by 13 points, I think it's something like 40-27%. Not sure what the other 20-30% are thinking, but we just heard that Franklin Graham is encouraging people to vote for one of the two leading candidates. And if you need to, hold your nose, his words, not mine. Hold your nose as you vote for a candidate for President of the United States. Now, I still move back to the very, very important basic requirements for electing President of the United States, as we find in Exodus chapter 18, verse 21, and also 2 Samuel 23. Just remember that God still requires each and every one of us to choose those who fear God first and foremost. So if they fear God, and it appears they fear God by what they say and how they vote, then go ahead and elect that candidate. Somebody wrote back to me and says, what if they don't fear God? What if nobody fears God? Who do you vote for? And the answer is, stay home, do something more productive. Okay, we'll be back in just a moment with more on Hillary Clinton and what's happening with her emails. It turns out they're not indicting her. That's the latest from the FBI director. Be back in just a moment. This is Kevin Swanson.
Have you ever found yourself asking questions like, what am I supposed to do with my life? How do I know what God's will is for me? How will I find good opportunities and be successful in life? And what is success anyway? My name is Daniel Craig. I'm a homeschool graduate, and I've asked all those same questions myself. As I was transitioning into life beyond homeschooling, I didn't fully understand God's calling on my life or how to prepare for that calling. I wasn't opposed to going to college, but I knew I also needed godly mentorship and real-life application to prepare for life ahead. And that's why I helped create the Kickstart program, an in-depth training program designed to help other students launch into life now with clear vision through one-on-one mentoring relationships and real-life application. With a clear, step-by-step approach, the 29 Kickstart video training sessions and companion guide walks students through the process of first defining vision and goals for their lives, then finding and engaging with mentors in their community who can help them move toward those goals. So if you're not sure how to prepare for life, you can either spend $72,000 on a college education, or you can first spend $129 on a program which provides cutting-edge guidance through a proven process of life preparation that works. Now, if that sounds like a deal to you, I encourage you, get Kickstart today at generations.org.
Back on the Generations Radio broadcast today, dealing with politics. We don't deal with politics all that much on this program for an important reason. Politics do not make up the substantial portion of a Christian world and life view. If it does, if politics dominates your understanding of the world, my friends, you're probably more of a Marxist or a socialist than you are a Christian. A Christian understands that the purpose of government is to go after the bad guy, peoples that rob banks and murder people and invade nations. You go after those elements when it comes to politics, and politics has almost no other purpose. And so, about 85-95% of what people talk about when it comes to politics, about 85-95% of the stuff that they're dealing with in the legislative committees at the state capitals and down at the national capital, it has nothing to do with God's purpose for government. All right, so just keep that in mind.
I think you're giving him too much credit. I think it's closer to 99.9% has nothing to do with what they're supposed to do.
It's so irrelevant. Have you ever been in a legislative chamber? I have sat through legislative chambers as I hear bill after bill discussed, and I keep thinking to myself, in disgust,
yeah.
why in the world are they dealing with this issue and this issue and that issue and that issue? When I was leading Teen Pact, the little teen preparation for civil government, a class provided by an organization called TeenPact.com, I would always remind the students that most of what is being discussed in these legislative chambers is a total waste of time and has nothing to do with God's ordained purpose for government. But that's just because modern governments have taken on the role of that God has not assigned
as
to it.
Nanny. Yeah, we are in a nanny state.
More and more, yes. But there is huge disillusionment on the part of the populace concerning the integrity of the leading candidates. Obviously, 60-65% of Americans believe that Hillary Clinton is lying when it comes to her emails, and not very many people are impressed with Donald Trump either. And yet these are the two leading candidates. I think that's an illustration of what's happening with this country. This country elects their candidates and then hates their candidates. Only 9% of Americans appreciate their Congress, the Congress they elected 2 years earlier.
and will elect again this term.
Sure, sure.
Same people.
Pretty much the same people. They hold their noses and they vote for them. But, of course, we get the leaders that we deserve.
Yeah, so as long as you hold your nose and vote, but you don't hold your breath that they're going to do anything right.
Yeah.
Because you'll die.
Yeah. Well, yesterday morning, FBI Director James Comey virtually cleared former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and, of course, the leading candidate in the Democratic Party for President of the United States, Hillary Clinton. He cleared Hillary Clinton of any criminal misconduct related to sending and receiving classified information on her private email server. He acknowledged that 110 emails in 52 email chains found on Clinton's server contained information that was classified at the time they were sent or received. And he also acknowledged that that classified information was accessed by certain countries like Russia, China, and North Korea. So, cleared by the FBI Director James Comey. And, I mean, the question that comes to my mind is, would you indict Hillary Clinton if you were the average American prosecutor? Would you indict?
Not if I wanted to live. I think she would. I think
they'd find a way to kill you. You wonder what would happen.
Yeah.
You wonder what would happen. I think people understand that indicting a Clinton is a risk.
Yeah. There are more people that died mysteriously during President Bill Clinton's reign than any other president.
Well, there certainly is the line of dead bodies, and people are still investigating those even to this day. In fact, the most recent was a cook who disappeared somewhere in the wilderness of New Mexico, and his body was found a couple of months ago. So just interesting things happening all the time surrounding the Clintons. And so, again, the question I think for everybody is, who would want to indict Hillary Clinton? And here's the other issue is, you know who James Comey works for.
Well, yeah. I mean, since he's in the FBI, then he works for the president.
He works for the Justice Department.
Yeah. And the Justice Department
reports to the President of the United States.
Right.
And the President of the United States has endorsed Hillary Clinton, knowing everything about her, knowing everything about the potential charges against her. The President of the United States has already endorsed Hillary Clinton as his guy for President of the United States.
Yeah, and it's just, well, and this came also after Loretta Lynch had a private conversation with Bill Clinton on a plane about apparently golf swings and things like that. So, but then after that, all of a sudden, James Comey says, oh, innocent, not going to indict.
The question I want to ask on this edition of the program is this: are Hillary Clinton's emails really that big of a deal? And that question, I think, really nags a lot of us because we see the headlines on FoxNews.com. We hear Rush Limbaugh and the political chatter that just continues forever and ever amongst our conservative radio talk show host friends. So, again, the question for us that we come back to again and again is this: does it really matter? What's the big deal? Are we all that concerned about Hillary Clinton's emails? Now, I don't get involved in political chatter very much because, for a couple of reasons. Number one is, this is not a political talk show, and we are not primarily about politics. Now, when we forage into politics, that's when we get the attention of the liberal left. That's when we get the attention of the conservatives as well. This is the thing that keeps America going right now, is politics. People love politics. They consider princes and horses to be pretty much the thing. If something's going to deliver us from our economic woes, it's going to be politics. It's going to be this conservative or that liberal. That's the position of most Americans. Most Americans think like socialists, and socialists believe that government will save them. So that is not the fundamental worldview that lies under the foundation of this radio program, friends. I just want you to remember that we don't trust in horses. We don't trust in princes. We trust in the Lord our God. And so politics does not make up a major discussion item around the Swanson dinner table in the evenings. It just doesn't. And I think, again, friends, your worldview betrays itself. The kind of radio programs you listen to betray your worldview. If you're all about politics, you're probably going to listen to politics. You're probably going to be following politics, and politics is going to be the big deal in your life. And if that be the case, you have the wrong world and life view. You have a socialist world and life view. So be sure that politics does not make up the end-all and be-all of what you, how you view the world and how you understand problems to be solved. Will the fundamental problems and confronting this nation, including the economic problems, as well as the political problems, as well as the social problems, will these problems be dealt with politically? Will they be solved politically, or will they be solved by the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit of God, by the power of the risen Christ within the hearts of individuals across this country? Again, politics plays a part. It ought to be included, 5-10% in terms of our discussions, but it shouldn't dominate our world and life view, at least if we're not socialists, if we're thinking biblically.
Yeah, politics is basically what sort of the outflow of what your heart is anyway. And so if your heart belongs to Christ, then your political views and things like that will then flow from that. And you'd look to the Bible for how do we do things politically? What is the biblical view of government? And government, there's three forms of government anyway. You've got your family, your church, and your civil. And so you need to include all of those parts. So the politic aspect of it, the civil government, which is what people think of as politics, is really not, shouldn't be that big of a of an issue in your family, just like Kevin said.
Bottom line is Donald Trump, even if he's elected as president of the United States, turns out to be the great conservative everybody hopes him to be, is not going to solve very many of our problems, friends. We've got way too many infrastructure issues across this country that unless there is a reformation that sweeps through that infrastructure, unless we see something of a sweeping revival that changes the family and restores the social system across this country, unless we see education radically changed across this country, unless we see the fear of God as the beginning of wisdom and knowledge emphasized in homeschooling conferences, oh, and also private schools and public schools, by the way, unless we see the fear of God on a comeback in the area of education, forget about politics, forget about everything else, my friends. The foundations are destroyed. What do the righteous do? Well, they pay attention to the foundations. Rush Limbaugh and the conservatives, they try to use these issues, like the Hillary Clinton email scheme, as something of a political wedge and fodder for the talk shows, hoping that they might be able to buy a little bit more passion amongst the Tea Partiers and the conservatives to engage the political process and bring about something of a political change across this nation. But here's my take on the Hillary Clinton email scam, or whatever you want to call it. Here's my take on it. Number one, I think sometimes we lose perspective in the chatter, in the political chatter. If you can picture Hillary Clinton as probably the most committed pro-abort in this country, endorsed by Planned Parenthood, I think one of the very first political presidential candidates ever to be nominated to be or to be endorsed by the Planned Parenthood organization, and she has committed her life to sustain and to encourage and to provide for Planned Parenthood in the years to come. Yes, indeed, she is the one to bring Planned Parenthood back after they've lost, just slipped a few notches in terms of their popularity because of the all the videos that were published that questioned the integrity of Planned Parenthood and their involvement in the trafficking of body organs of little babies. And this is one of the bloodiest, one of the most horrendous organizations in the country. This is the reason for God's judgment to descend upon this nation if it does come. This is it, my friends. Planned Parenthood is the bloodiest, the most murderous organization across this country and has been funded by hundreds of millions, $500 million of public funds each and every year, at least over the last number of years. Hillary Clinton stands there with the blood of 40 million babies on her hands, and she also has a problem with her email server. Now, it's easy for us to lose perspective, again, when it comes to these political issues. People are diverted from the fundamental issue again and again and again. And when you see this on the front page of Fox News, day in and day out, Hillary Clinton's email problem. Hillary Clinton's email problem. We're diverted from the fundamental issue. Let me ask you this question, Steve. Did God destroy Sodom because somebody used the wrong email server?
I'm thinking no.
See, that gives you a little better perspective, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely. It enables us to see the issue that really matters, because the issues that matter are the issues that matter to God. That's why the beginning of wisdom has got to be the fear of God, and the fear of God needs to be the most important prerequisite for anybody who serves in leadership, or for anybody who will attempt to vote for somebody who will serve in leadership. You see, without the fear of God and the acknowledgement of God and the recognition of what really matters to God, forget about everything else.
So what you're trying to say, or let me get to this. So it doesn't matter who sits in the Oval Office in the White House so much as it matters who sits on the throne of your heart.
Well, yes, indeed. It matters who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords and calls the shots, which means when we say that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, what we're saying is he has the right to determine what is right and what is wrong, what is just and what is unjust. And unless we use the law of God as the basis for our understanding of what is right and what is wrong, and to determine the egregiousness of this or that. In other words, the civil magistrate is to be involved in the issues of shedding of innocent blood. You find that in Genesis 9:6. You find it throughout the book of Deuteronomy, where the shedding of innocent blood was the most important issue that confronted the judges at that time. If the blood, innocent blood, had been shed anywhere in any city, it was important that they identify the cause of it. Otherwise, they might subject themselves to the judgment of God. In fact, at points, they called down the priests to pray and to intercede with God. If they did not have the ability to identify the real problem and deal with the problem politically, wherever there was the shedding of innocent blood. In other words, the shedding of innocent blood is a fundamental concern for any political state, first and foremost. So, again, we look to the Word of God to give us our political agenda. I remember speaking to a pro-family lobbyist one time in the Denver Capitol. This would have been 12, 13 years ago. It was a pro-family guy. You would have appreciated the pro-family organization for which he was the director. And he told me that he wasn't going to really be working with the issue of abortion this year because the issue had lost traction. You see, we no longer have the political strength to gain any ground on the issue of abortion in the state of Colorado. So the pro-family organization was backing away from it. Well, from my perspective, traction is a non-issue. From my perspective, what is of most concern is the thing that is of concern to God, first and foremost, the thing that is at the very top of his agenda. We're sitting around his table when we're talking about the civil magistrate, and he's going to be pointing out something of significance, and it's not going to be speed bumps in the parking lot. It's going to be the issue of the shedding of innocent blood across the state of Colorado.
It makes total sense. I mean, if you're losing traction, then raise the thing up and put chains on and get traction back. I mean, it's we are about the business of God, mm-hmm. not about the business of what we think is successful or
sure,
not.
Sure, sure.
And so we've got to fight for what we stand for, what God stands for. We see where God is working, we go there. We don't do something and say, hey, God, come and bless what I'm doing. It's we see where God's working and we go to where that is.
We don't look for the most winnable. We're not pragmatists here. We know we're standing against incredible odds as we face the Red Sea or the Midianites, but we still stand on God's agenda. And so, my friends, sometimes we lose perspective in the chatter. Be careful that you don't lose perspective in the chatter when you're listening to Rush Limbaugh or the conservative chatter day in and day out. Here's the second issue. Hillary Clinton's email scheme seems to demonstrate another form of hypocrisy, and I think we need to mention that. Again, this not being the primary concern with Hillary Clinton. However, if there is hypocrisy at points, I think we need to point it out, especially if we are considering voting for this woman as the next president of the United States. Political officials, it does seem to be more and more above the law, and that's a concern. She's above the law in the area of email distribution. She may be above the law when it comes to knocking off some of her political opponents. Now, I'm not saying she's done that or she will do that, but if she's above the law, then she may be above the law when it comes to the Eighth Commandment, as well as the Seventh and Sixth Commandment, and that, my friends, is a real risk, that political officials see themselves as more and more above the law. that somehow they can make the laws, but they can also break the laws. It's okay for them to break the laws. When the city councilmen are running 80 miles per hour through the school zone in the county, and they're getting away with it, and the police officers refuse to pull them over, that's an issue. That's a problem. That's a concern. And I think we need to raise the concern from time to time. Why? Because any time you find that tyrants see themselves as above the law, that creates a lawlessness and contributes even more to the anarchy and the lawlessness of the region. That more and more destroys law or law and order in the society in which they purport to govern. So that's a concern. That is a concern, Steve. I'm not saying that it's not a concern. I'm saying it's not the chief concern with Hillary Clinton, but it's still a concern. Creates more of a lawlessness and sometimes even a dictatorship. And this nation may be moving straight for a dictatorship. That may be a concern in the future. Okay, my friends, as we wrap up this edition of the Generations Radio program, let me just say this. Be careful that you don't wrap your expectations around the political state. Be sure you don't wrap your expectations around a nation that could very well fall. The nations, of course, are in the hands of Almighty God. These nations rise and fall at His beck and call. So keep that in mind. Also, let's be careful not to be too patriotic. By the way, I wore black on the 4th. For the first time, as far as I can remember, I wore black for the first time on the 4th of July. I did it for a couple of reasons. One, this nation has been participating in some very shameful things, and the Supreme Court of the United States specifically has violated God's law and has effectively raised the fist against God and rebelled against God in some of the most egregious ways I can ever imagine any nation ever doing so. And this nation, of course, having such a tremendous heritage, this nation still saying under God and its Pledge of Allegiance, yet being a nation that is raising a fist against the face of Almighty God and beginning to set the direction towards persecuting more Christians. The Supreme Court of the United States has done three things in the last year that have been extremely egregious. One is opening up the doors to homosexuality. Two, increasing the opportunities for persecution, especially against that poor family in Washington State that did not want to abort children. They didn't particularly want to contribute to the abortion of children, but the Supreme Court of the United States is forcing that family-run pharmacy in Washington State to abort children or to contribute to the abortion of children. And that, my friends, is one of the most egregious abridgments of human liberty and Christian liberty in the history of this world. And for that reason, I would say this nation is departed from the vision upon which this nation was founded, and certainly is departing any resemblance of submitting itself to God. Also, do remember that the Supreme Court of the United States has set themselves against states' rights and done everything they can to increase abortions in Texas and these individual states that had attempted to, in some ways, limit abortion in their respective states. And so, friends, for these reasons, for the reasons that the Supreme Court of the United States has submitted itself to the sodomist agenda and is increasingly encouraging the neuronic agenda across this country, for the reasons that they are increasingly persecuting Christians and they are contributing as much as they possibly can to the shedding of innocent blood, at least in this area of abortion. For these reasons, my friends, I wore black on July 4th of the year 2016. I don't believe that Lot celebrated July 4th that last year. Do you remember Lot in Sodom?
Oh, yeah.
I don't believe he celebrated July 4th, at least the last year that he and his family lived in Sodom and Gomorrah.
There were fireworks, though.
There were fireworks. The fireworks came, but he was not celebrating July 4th. Well, here we are in 2016 asking ourselves, how much patriotism? Moderate your patriotism, friends. That's all I'm saying. Granted, on July 4th, I offered up a prayer of thanksgiving. When we got together for a meal on July 4th, I offered up a prayer of thanksgiving for the freedoms that God had preserved and for His long suffering over this land over these many years. It amazes me that God continues to provide some level of freedom, some level of security across this country. No bombs falling in the state of Colorado as of yet. But this is the long-suffering of God. So be sure that you are grateful for the heritage. Be sure that you're grateful for what God has given to us. But moderate your patriotism, friends. Moderate your patriotism. I'm working on the Pledge of Allegiance, Steve. I've got a rough draft. I'm not sure what we're going to do with the Pledge of Allegiance for the years to come. However, as we wrap up the program today, I just want to offer up a draft. This is only a draft of the Pledge of Allegiance that children, school children, have used for many, many years. And churches, I think, have been somewhat involved in using the Pledge of Allegiance from time to time as well. Well, I think we need to rethink it. I think we need to go with another draft. I have written a new draft for the Pledge of Allegiance of the United States using some biblical language and trying to bring it to more of a truthful pledge. And here it goes. Here it is. Here is the new Pledge of Allegiance, just a draft form. I'm probably going to be redlining it over the next 6 months or so. But here it is, the new Pledge of Allegiance for your consideration. I render due honor to the United States of America. Now that brings out Romans 13.
Yes.
We ought to render due honor. I render due honor to the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation that should submit itself to God, but doesn't very much. Definitely divisible whenever God wants to divide it up. And doesn't provide very much liberty and justice for all these days. Okay, so there it is. That's the new draft for the Pledge of Allegiance. You notice I've done some pretty significant redlining.
Yeah, yeah. So it doesn't quite flow yet, but I think we could probably do that.
Yeah, it doesn't quite have the flow. I'll read it one more time. For your consideration, friends, the new Pledge of Allegiance, the new draft for the Pledge of the Allegiance of the United States of America. Here it is. I render due honor to the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation that should submit itself to God, but doesn't very much. Definitely divisible whenever God wants to divide it up. And doesn't provide very much liberty and justice for all these days. That, my friends, is the new draft for the Pledge of Allegiance for the United States of America. And folks, you have been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast. You can interact with this program. You can email me. Perhaps you have some inputs as to my new draft for the Pledge of Allegiance. If you do, please email us at host@kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.